Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Score!
Mike Florio.
Let's bring in Mike Florio here. Joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
We have learned that an unvaccinated Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? He's a big, fat liar.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes.
How are you, Mike?
On the Score.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS. We're trying to reach Mike Florio now. This is how insulated he is and how many layers you have to get through to just get to Mike Florio. That he's got staying in the special presidential private heavily protected fortress suite in Canton, and there are several layers of security. We don't know all the aliases.
There's a lot of stuff that goes like there's everyone's there.
I know,
because the Hall of Fame game is tomorrow. We'll get football back tomorrow, Dan.
Yeah, well, our special computer associate Theo is working through the layers of computerized of security to try to hack through to get to Florio's hotel room, just so we can have access to him. So he's hard to find because he stays under multiple aliases, and there's secret handshakes. You have to pay people off. But we finally have gotten to Mike Florio now, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you? I always stay in hotels under the name Tom Brady, and I've never had an issue.
Happy birthday.
Not a single time.
Yeah. Happy 45th
happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I wonder if the Dolphins sent him a cake.
That's also tampering. So Mike, you saw the rendering from upon high yesterday when all of the penalties came out for Stephen Ross and the folks over at the Dolphins. What do you make of it?
Well, I don't think they would have done anything about tampering if they realized they couldn't nail him for tanking for a variety of reasons, because he did try to tank. Basically, he pointed the gun at the victim, he pulled the trigger, he missed, and they said, no big deal, don't worry about it. The only reason he didn't tank in 2019 is because Brian Flores refused to do it. He made it clear to the people around him, and this is one of the privileges of being a multi-billionaire, you never have to order the code red. All you have to say is, you know, it would be pretty nice today if someone would bring in a box of donuts. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be 10,000 donuts if the billionaire says that. So I think they had him dead to rights on tanking, but they didn't want to hit him for tanking. And everybody knew about the tampering. Everybody knew that Peyton and Brady were a done deal to go to Miami. We had been reporting it for months, and people thought we were crazy. It was all lined up. It was happening. And they were a little bit too indiscreet about it, so they got nailed for that. And really, when you look at what the commissioner said, unprecedented in scope and severity, they didn't really hit him all that hard. And one of the reasons I think they didn't hit him all that hard is everybody tampers. So this didn't surprise me because I knew that they tried to get Peyton and Brady. It did surprise me that they punished them, because tampering is rampant in the National Football League, and they don't have the resources or the inclination to catch everyone who does it.
I'm very curious how much the Bill Belichick leaked text message played a role into this, too, and if that conversation expedited any of this process. And frankly, I'm never quite sure what the motive is with Belichick as well, if he knew that the chain reaction would lead to something that could be considered favorable.
Oh, I know there's been speculation that his accidental text on purpose is what got Flores to file his lawsuit in the first place. But I think as it relates to Brady, look, the Patriots didn't care that Brady was being tampered with rampantly. Everyone and anyone was talking to Brady. The Buccaneers blatantly tampered with Brady. That's why they can't complain about the Dolphins tampering with Brady when he was with the Buccaneers, because they did it when he was with the Patriots, and then they tried to clumsily cover their tracks. Hell, Bruce Arians at the scouting combine in late February of 2020 just flat out said, "We're interested in Tom Brady." Textbook violation of the tampering rules. But the Patriots knew, this guy's put in his 20 years. He's ready to move on. We're not going to stand in his way. We're not going to make this ugly. We don't want that kind of a shadow hanging over his legacy here. So I don't think the Patriots cared about this. And I really don't think the Saints cared, because the Saints had a deal with the Dolphins. They had a deal in place at the highest levels of the organization for Peyton to become the coach of the Dolphins. That was going to happen. So, you know, people have asked me, and I haven't written this yet at PFT, we talked about it on our show this morning, why weren't the Patriots, the Saints, or the Buccaneers compensated as part of this tampering finding? Because there have been times in the past where the victim gets something. The draft pick taken from the perpetrator goes to the victim. I think there's no compensation because the Patriots didn't care, the Saints were in on it, and the Buccaneers tampered with Brady in the first place, so they have no cause to complain. So it really is amazing that it was this rampant, this bad, not exactly a slap on the wrist, but for as bad as it was, according to the commissioner, Stephen Ross and the Dolphins got off on this pretty easy.
I like the okey-doke they pulled by saying, well, yes, Stephen Ross did say what he said to Brian Flores about tanking, about incentivizing losing games, but it was a joke and it wasn't really taken seriously. And then they come down this hard with all the highfalutin language on the other things when it would appear that they might be kind of hitting him for the other violation on which they let him off.
Yeah, I think they hit him for the other violation. And, you know, on the $100,000 offer, they said, well, there were differences of recollections and context, et cetera. So that's human interaction. That's the old exercise you do in school when you have the grocery list of five items and you tell the first kid, by the time it gets to the 10th kid, what was bread, milk, and eggs becomes purple monkey meatball, right? There's always going to be differences in recollections. But the $100,000 is the common thread, and the $100,000 only gets mentioned because, to borrow the favorite catchphrase of my colleague Miles Simmons, Stephen Ross was basically saying, well, no one rid me of this meddlesome priest. He wasn't telling anyone to do it. He was telling them, boy, our draft position for next year is more important to me than our win-loss record this year. And he's saying it, and nothing's happening. And when you're a multi-billionaire and one of those powerful men in the country, you probably get a little irritated when you have to reduce yourself to actually tell people directly what to do. Again, the subtlety, the nuance, you shouldn't have to do that. And the NFL acknowledged he said those things about draft position being more important than win-loss record. It was the whole thing at 100,000, well, that he didn't really mean it. But he meant the first part. And the first part's bad enough. The only reason it didn't happen is because Brian Flores, who is the only hero in this story, who is a man of true integrity, and any NFL organization that has any integrity should rush to make him the head coach, because he did the right thing at every step of the way. The only reason they didn't tank is because Flores said no. And the only reason we know about it is because he made it part of his lawsuit, because he got fired, in part, he believes, and he's probably right, for not going along with what the oligarch who owns the team wanted him to do.
Preach, especially on Brian Flores, who should be considered the hero in all of this, and it is
Think
a shame
this.
That he's not.
Think about this, Layla. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make this point, because Chris Sims made this today, and it is a brilliant observation. Brian Flores, who could have easily justified telling me, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Jay Glazer, anyone who covers the NFL, what was going on in 2019, to truly blow the whistle and blow this up and get this to stop. He didn't do it. Why? Because he is the ultimate team player, the ultimate good soldier who's not going to step outside the proper communications. He used the proper communications. He's not going to run to someone in the media and leak it and start a big mess. Even in a horribly difficult situation, he didn't give in to the temptation. And it would have been very easy to call somebody up and light this fuse publicly in order to get this to stop. So people are sleeping on the Steelers this year. They got Mike Tomlin and Brian Flores. Go ahead and sleep on the Steelers this year. And the Steelers shouldn't have Flores for long, because hopefully a team next year will realize what he did here and entrust their organization to him.
Yes, if I were a player, I would be excited to be playing with those two men as well. And I also want to point out this. It's made its way across the internet verse. And what person is in common with the three times NFL history has seen a team forfeit their first round draft pick? Spygate 2007, Deflategate in 2015, and now tampering in 2022.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess if you play in the NFL long enough, you're going to be connected to enough controversies where first-round picks get forfeited.
I don't know. I mean, that's one person in a massive history in the league, and it's Tom Brady.
Well, and he comes out of this unscathed, but he should be very scathed. This should hit his reputation. He should be criticized for this. While he's playing for the Buccaneers, and before that, while he was playing for the Patriots, he's talking with other teams about the future. And, you know, he feels entitled, and there's no accountability. He can do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants. And I think this is a horrible look for him, both as it relates to his Patriots legacy and as it relates to his Buccaneers legacy. I mean, my God, while he's still playing for the Patriots, trying to get back to the Super Bowl and win it again, he and his agent are talking to the Dolphins about jumping ship to a division rival in just a matter of weeks, if not months.
We talked with your managing editor, Michael David Smith, earlier this week.
He was great.
He's terrific as always. I always love seeing him too, especially now because he's all yoked up. He's been in the gym, been hitting it hard. But we were talking to him about this Deshaun Watson ruling. We got his thoughts on what he thinks the NFL might do. What do you think Roger Goodell and the NFL might do?
I think the most important thing, Lawrence, about the ruling from Judge Robinson is her factual finding that Deshaun Watson did it. Because under the CBA and under the personal conduct policy, the only thing that is binding on the commissioner, if the NFL appeals the decision to the NFL, which is ridiculous on its face, but that's what the rule is. The only thing binding on Roger Goodell are the factual findings. Her decision that Deshaun Watson should be suspended 6 games based on those factual findings doesn't matter. That's not binding. There's no deference given to her analysis of the personal conduct policy as applied to these facts. Roger Goodell just takes her findings of fact, and he decides what the right punishment should be. And I can't for the life of me figure out what her reasoning was for landing on 6 games. She never says, for example, I decided to suspend him a game and a half for each of the four accusers. There's some comparisons that are made, but there's never any effort to basically pull out a calculator and tell us how you got to 6 games. She talks about aggravating factors and mitigating factors. She doesn't say how that caused it to go up or down or stay the same. Cancel out, I don't know. And I think there's a certain resignation in her written decision that it doesn't matter. She's given Goodell the keys to do whatever he wants. Everything after that, everything after her factual findings end, is meaningless, because he can do, my reading of the CBA and the personal conduct policy, he can now do whatever he wants. And they were asking for a full season before, unless that was just a ruse to get her to give, you know, more than 2 or 3 or 4 games. If that's what they really want, they can get it. They appeal it to Goodell. And Goodell, who runs everything in the NFL and was responsible for the positions they took in this initial hearing where they wanted a full year, all he's got to do is write it up and say, sorry, there's no difference between nonviolent sexual assault and sexual assault. That's the distinction she tried to draw. There's no difference. Sexual assault is sexual assault. 4 accusers. We know there are other claims made. That's an aggravating factor, even if it's not part of the body of evidence. And he's off for the full season. If they want to do it, they can do it. And I fully expect that they're going to appeal the decision and that the suspension will be higher than 6 games, if not the whole season.
And I think that the adjudication of the Trevor Bauer case by MLB is set out a way to do this that looms over some of these decisions where one sport already has exiled someone for this based on how they interpreted it. But a couple things I find fascinating here. If this were an actual court of law, civil or criminal, a judge is trying very hard to inoculate themselves against appeal. Just to make sure that everything is done in a way to say, well, this is where if someone on the losing side could say, well, this is already grounds. And you know this, Mike, that someone's going to say now it's appealable or now this is going to be an automatic slam dunk appeal. This kind of did the opposite. There were breadcrumbs set down in here in a way to make it more open to this appeals process. And to, for the life of me, how can the number of accusers and number of transgressions, alleged transgressions, not matter? She treated it like this is one incident. There were 30 cases settled by the Texans. 30 different accusers settled. How can the total number of accusers that we know of not weigh on this?
Well, it doesn't matter because here's why. The NFL only introduced at the end of the day evidence of 4 accusers. I don't know why they whittled it down to 4. But they did. One of the reasons they only had access to 12 accusers is the others said, we're not talking to you. So that's part of the problem. But when we get to the level of aggravating or mitigating factors, she said mitigating factors are he's a first-time offender. Well, wait a minute. How's he a first-time offender when there's 24 offenses? And the New York Times reported he had 66 massage therapy sessions with people he found on social media. And you know, how does that just get ignored? How does that get forgotten? I think there would have been a way to pull those facts into this if she really wanted to. And if we're going to talk about aggravating and mitigating factors, it would be aggravating to me as a factor in maybe pumping up the suspension even higher that we do know about all these lawsuits. Even if this evidence isn't part of it, why would you think any of the other allegations are inconsistent with the allegations and the testimony and the evidence of the 4 that you have found are legitimate? You just forget about all the rest. So I agree with you. I think it should be part of it. And the commissioner may find – even if the commissioner doesn't make it part of it, we all know it's part of it. And that's all the more reason for him to impose a higher suspension.
To me, Mike, we saw that this was probably a likelihood from the very beginning in the way the Browns managed their quarterback situation. Even though it took a little while, they still ended up moving who they needed to, and they had to have gotten some indication that the punishment wasn't going to be that badly. Also, this is great for Roger Goodell if you're looking at it from his standpoint, because here he is using the perfect shield in this judge, a woman, credentialed, and then she gets to say whatever she needs or the NFL needs her to say to get them from point A to B. He gets to wipe his hands of it. The inaccuracies when it comes to the punishment of, say, a Calvin Ridley and the fact that the Texans punished Deshaun Watson for more games effectively than the league did. And Goodell just gets to say, okay, well, somebody else did it. And, hey, it's also a woman. Everybody who diminishes this and the offenses gets to feel good about themselves. And we get to move forward.
That's assuming they don't appeal. But, see, I'll take it a step farther. They can appeal, and he can impose an even greater suspension. And look, he imposed even more games on Deshaun Watson than the female judge did. He's going above and beyond to protect the female football fans out there who are upset about what happened here. I mean, look, it's all PR. It's all driven by PR. The entire personal conduct policy is a PR tool by the NFL. And the one thing that happened in 2014 that the commissioner will never forget, he was too lenient with Ray Rice, and it almost cost him his job. And I remember thinking in the aftermath of that, he will never be accused of being too lenient again when one of the players commits violence or any other misconduct against a female. And we saw with Ezekiel Elliott, 6 games, never arrested, never charged, never even sued, and he got 6 games. I fully expect they're going to appeal this. I fully expect it's going to be a greater suspension. And yet again, no one will be able to accuse Roger Goodell, other than in 2014, of being too lenient with a player who commits violence or some sort of wrongdoing against a female.
And Mike, I keep laughing at the fact that, well, if he did nothing wrong, then why now must he only go to team-appointed massage therapist?
Found he did something wrong. But that's the thing. She found he did something wrong.
And he also refuses to admit or understand it. There's been no remorse. And in a real court, that matters. In a real court, I mean, look at what's going on as we speak in the Alex Jones trial and how a judge is excoriating someone for what it actually means to know you have done something wrong, where Deshaun Watson has said explicitly, no regrets, none.
Most overlooked part of all of this, she found in a very diplomatic and polite way that he lied. And the commissioner is not going to be diplomatic or polite about the fact that he lied when he categorically denied that he had committed any type of wrongdoing.
Forget who that woman's working for.
I think that's fair.
Period.
Mike,
paragraph.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Have a good time in Canton.
Have a great week. Thank you.
That's Mike Florio. The Bears are practicing. The Bears offense is not moving the ball very well.
Yesterday, Layla, we got 2 air horns during the hit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful today that we'll get one.
For
great.
The Bears hit?
2 words.
Yeah, it's next with Mark Grody on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Ron, is there anything else that you think they need or could use?
More Mark Grody.
That's what you get right now as we check in on your Chicago Bears with Mark Grody. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports. And our Bears beat reporter joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
Bears beat reporter or Lala beat reporter? What's up, Grody? I think you and I are the only ones who win.
My fellow Lollapalooza friend. We tried so hard to go together last year, and then we decided at the last second not to go.
Because we got the fear put in us last year. We got the fear put in us. You remember that.
We were basically told, yeah, we were going to have to, like, quarantine in a tank for like 5 or 6 weeks or something like that. If we went
Dave.
To Lala, wasn't worth. Yeah, you and me, Dave, in a tank. I will tell you this, you three. The Bears just put together a really nice touchdown drive out here in front of the fans on field two, a 50-plus yard touchdown drive that ended in a short pass on a 4th-and-1 to Darnell Mooney. And that was incredibly encouraging to see that drive, because it had been, up until just a few moments ago, and still probably overall, has been sort of a meh day again for the offense, better than yesterday. But I will say this too, like, some credit has to be given to, I know I talked a little bit about the secondary yesterday, but there's some specific plays being made by some of these young defenders. Kyler Gordon, nice pass breakup on a Justin Fields pass that was intended for Velus Jones Jr. Jaquan Brisker deflecting a Fields pass that was intended for Cole Kmet. Also, just before the Bears put together that drive, Jalen Johnson had made a really nice play, again, on a Justin Fields pass intended for Equanimeous St. Brown. So definitely some highlights for the defense. And just as I know people want to hear all the big offensive highlights and they want more from Justin Fields, and that is by far the most important thing. But you need to know that these young defenders are really looking good and on their game, and just watching them, you know, talking out there and getting themselves in the right position, it feels like between Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, the Bears may really have something with these guys.
Groats, when it comes to some of the problems that the offense has had in practice, are they own goals, or is the defense doing this to them?
Such a great question. I do think, you know, I just said, you know, the defense standing out, but there are so many, like, I was just talking about this with some fellow media members, that the offensive line, Lawrence, is just ever changing. They do not know exactly, or at least maybe they know, but they are showing lots of different, like, for instance, yesterday was mostly Sam Mustipher at center. Today, all I have seen is Doug Kramer, the rookie, at center, and Sam Mustipher playing on the second team as far as the center today. I have seen another one of the rookies, Ja'Tyre Carter, playing starting right guard today, you know, along with Schofield getting some of that as well. Yes. So, and then you have, too, yeah, then you have as well Braxton Jones, who for a second straight day is the only guy playing left tackle. He is it. No, again, Riley Reiff over on the right side for a second straight day. So it is interesting that they're playing around with the offensive line, and to, you know, to better answer your question, Lawrence, thus they are playing with the offense, and that it's hard to get a constant going on offense when your offensive linemen are constantly changing, not to mention the fact that they are still, it's been the Darnell Mooney show out here today. Like, most of the targets, you know, somebody joked up there that Mooney's going to get 200 targets this year. I mean, they are really trying to figure out who the other actual weapons are. Cole Kmet has been very present today. A lot of intended passes for him. He caught one and made a nice play out of it. You know, a lot of short passes to David Montgomery, but they are still waiting for somebody. Byron Pringle, N'Keal Harry, Equanimeous St. Brown, one of these guys to show themselves, to stand out and make this offense comfortable with these guys. So I will say that with all the changing parts on offense and a little bit more static on the defensive side, I mean, they're doing some things where they've got Kyler Gordon on the inside and the outside, like, kind of rotating there too, but just not as much change as there is on the offense, and that makes it difficult.
So you mean to tell me that the only real proven receiver last year is still the only real proven receiver so far this year?
That is correct, Layla.
Got it.
That is correct.
Okay.
It's all fine now, but once that season starts and they start to put a lockdown on Darnell Mooney, and they will force the hand of the Bears. So the hope is that somebody shines through, or there is some plan for when it's lights, camera, action, that this is going to look a little bit more real. I'm keeping in mind that this is definitely only the second day with pads on, and they're doing more today than they did yesterday. I should point that out. More like full team, more 11 on 11 out here today than they did yesterday. So I'm sensing a little bit of urgency, especially with the day off tomorrow. But yeah, Lales, somebody needs to jump out and show themselves out here for the Bears, because you cannot survive on Darnell Mooney alone.
I am having some fun with this, but I only say this because of the reports we had of 7-on-7s in mini camps too.
Yeah. No, I mean it's the same thing, and they've got more guys now. They added more, since then, with the addition of N'Keal Harry, who I've seen catch a couple of passes out here. The size does stand out, but he hasn't done anything particularly special out here. One thing too that we were talking about is watching what they were doing before the 55-yard drive, and a lot of that was, as we predicted, very conservative.
Scrambles, checkdowns.
Yes, scrambles, checkdowns. Big time. And
that means the timing of the play is being disrupted at jump. That's what that means.
Oh yeah, and there was probably a couple times on those scrambles where sacks were called, and we don't know. It's tough to tell when they blow up a play dead or they consider it a sack in the name of protecting Justin Fields. So yeah, he's been running for his life. I haven't seen a whole lot of designed plays for running. And look, Justin Fields still looks really good when he gets going full speed out in the open. It's a nice balance to have. But you're right. I mean, you don't want to see him scrambling for his life, and we've seen a ton of that today. And, this offense, I don't know, the Bears players keep on saying on the offense that, hey, you're going to be surprised by what you see. Just wait until, they're rubbing their hands together. Wait till you guys see what we have. I think their approach is going to be very conservative this year, because it has to be, not because they want it to be, not because that's what the offense is designed to be, but watching this here today and the dump offs, the scrambles, the short passes, the runs, that's what it's going to have to be, because the longer passes, like I said, the defense has been very disruptive when Justin Fields does try to go downfield.
Air horn. Give us air horn. I listened to some of the sound that you played yesterday from the aforementioned Braxton Jones to talk about the use of his hands. And then I read one of his quotes today where he said, at this level, they are really attentive to what defense they're in. And I thought, yeah? And he said, well, this is coming from college and a small school. Apparently, what I gleaned from that was he doesn't have a lot of experience trying to understand what the defense is trying to do. That means that young man has a long way to go.
Yeah, he does. And it's funny, when we interviewed him, another part of that to note was how surprised he was, how surprised Braxton Jones was that he was getting first team play. It was kind of like, oh, me? Oh, okay, sick.
Cool.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Let's do this. So and obviously, during OTAs and mini camps, there was a little bit more rotation. And I asked him the question yesterday, hey, are you kind of imposing your will a little bit more now? Because this is you. Like, you are being given a chance as a fifth-round rookie to be the starting left tackle on this team. And, he gave the stock answer, hey, I'm just competing out here. I'm always competing. I'm always trying hard. I'll play wherever they want me to play. But I got to tell you, man, the way it's looked the last couple days, they are super high on Braxton Jones, and at least the last 2 days, and the most important days of practice so far, because they are in full pads, they have decided that Braxton Jones will be the only left tackle. And maybe it'll change. Who knows? Maybe, like I said, off day tomorrow, we'll see what they do on Friday with that spot. Will Riley Reiff start to circulate back there, as he's been on the playing right tackle along with Larry Borum today once again? But it is interesting to see the progress and just to see the minds of, well, especially in this case, Ryan Poles working, because I would imagine that is more Poles than Eberflus or anybody else. Ryan Poles obviously drafted this guy. Ryan Poles, an former offensive lineman. And of course, it would be great if their starting left tackle is a fifth-round rookie. That's a pretty good win in the draft if that turns out to be the case. And if he's good, who knows?
I was going to say, I could define that several ways. Groats, thanks, man. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Grody.
That is Mark Grody. High Noon is coming up. Every once in a while, I find an AP story that I just kind of ran into that I simply need to read word for word.
Okay.
And that's all.
Won't someone think of the poor crypto bros at this time? Because they are suffering.
And I know what Snoop Dogg's going to do when he's done.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there. Out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Time for High Noon. We've been busy with sports stuff, serious sports stuff. The nothing trade deadline for the Sox and the Cubs. Trying to sort our way through words and motivations and see if words mean what we think they mean as we peel back what is the layers of dysfunction in a White Sox organization that continues to work at cross purposes at multiple levels and leaves us all as observers and fans stuck in these gears in a very, very painful way.
And Cubs, you're not out of it yet. No, we have two more hours of this show.
Because Rick Hahn said it was clearly a seller's market, except apparently for the Cubs.
He also said that Luis Robert would be in the lineup, and then he's not in the lineup, and then they're going to do a thing, and then he's not going to be in the lineup, and he's going to DH. And
football talk with both Florio and Grody.
It's High Noon.
That was a really bleak Bears hit, by the way.
It was!
Like, I didn't want to say it at the time, because I love Grody, but it just sounded bleak. So, crypto.
Yeah?
Everybody's favorite polarizing currency, or depending on who you ask, multi-level marketing, has not been doing great recently. There was just a horrible hack of a Nomad chain, and that sounded terrible, but it's also caused a lot of crypto bros to need some capital. Won't somebody think of the poor crypto bros who are selling their Rolexes because they need money?
Apparently the most rare Patek Philippe and Rolex watches, that there are people who trade them for a living.
Yes.
And the prices are dropping across the board.
Did you want a Rolex or a Patek Philippe? This is the time. Dan has his. According to Bloomberg, the secondhand market for luxury watches has been flooded in the last few months as a result of the crypto collapse. Won't somebody think of the watches? This watch-selling platform, Chrono24, told reporters that the dip has, quote, directly impacted pricing of luxury watches from brands like Rolex and Patek Philippe, end quote. Supply for prestige watches like the Rolex Daytona, starting at $17,194 plus shipping on Chrono24, and the Patek Nautilus 5711A, starting at $101,000 plus shipping, is now much larger, according to the company. Those poor, poor people.
Sad. Oh. Well, what are we going to do?
You're going to put your money in other places besides just crypto.
It's probably some really sound
on your wrist.
Advice.
In your hand.
I've got a bunch of watches because, you know, I wear the Apple Watch now. I have one, like, super nice watch that I wear occasionally for TV. But I have a bunch of other watches where I'm like, should I just start giving them away? Like, are there young men in need of decent watches?
Oh, that's such a nice
thought. And I should just give them away. For Rankin?
Please.
All right, I got you. I got you.
I will bring you
a collection of watches tomorrow.
Thank you.
For all sorts of different outfits and suits and stuff.
Inside his jacket. He's just going to open up. They're all going to
want to buy a watch.
They're all going to be hanging.
You can call me Rollo.
Presented without comment. Just hang in. This is an AP story that I saw in the Tribune today, and I took a picture of it, and here it is. And I apologize if my Polish pronunciations are subpar. Wyszkowo, Poland is the dateline. More than 1,000 years after his death in what is now Poland, a European king whose nickname lives on is at the center of an archaeological dispute. Chronicles from the Middle Ages say that King Harald Gormson of Denmark, whose nickname was Bluetooth, acquired his nickname courtesy of a dead tooth that looked bluish. One chronicle from the time also says the Viking king was buried in Roskilde in Denmark in the late 10th century. All right, you with me? Everybody with me?
I heard a Bluetooth.
A Swedish archaeologist and a Polish researcher recently claimed in separate publications that they have pinpointed his most probable burial site in the village of Wyszkowo in an area of northwestern Poland that has ties to the Vikings. Marek Kirda, author of the book Viking Poland, said that a pagan mound that he claims he has located beneath Wyszkowo's 19th century Roman Catholic Church probably holds the king's remains. Kreda said geological satellite images available on a Polish government portal revealed a rotund shape that looked like a Viking burial mound. But Swedish archaeologist Sven Rosborn says Kreda is wrong, because Harald, who converted from paganism to Christianity and founded churches in the area, must have received an appropriate grave somewhere in the churchyard. Wyszkowo's Church of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary stands atop a small round knoll. Historians at the Danish National Museum say they are familiar with the suggestion that Wyszkowo is Harald's burial place. But Rosborn detailed in his research in the 2021 book, The Viking King's Golden Treasure, that Kreda challenged some of the Swedes' finding in his own book published this year. Harald, who died in 985, probably in Jomsborg, believed to be the Polish town of Wolin now, was one of the last Viking kings to rule over what is now Denmark, northern Germany, and parts of Sweden and Norway. He spread Christianity. But wait, Swedish telecommunications company Ericsson named its Bluetooth wireless link technology after the king,
yes,
reflecting how he united much of Scandinavia during his lifetime. Rosborn, the former director of Sweden's Malmo City Museum, was spurred on his quest in 2014 when an 11-year-old girl sought his opinion about a small, soiled, coin-like object with an old-looking text that had been in her family's possession for decades. Experts have determined that the cast gold disc that sparked Maya Sielski's curiosity dated from the 10th century. The Latin inscription on what is now known as the Kurmson disc says Harald Gormson, which in Latin is Kurmson, King of Danes, Scania, Jomsborg, town Aldinburg. Sielski's family said the disc came from a trove found in 1841 in a tomb under the Wyszkowo Church, which replaced a medieval chapel. Kreda says the Kurmson disc is phenomenal with its meaningful inscription and insists it would be worth it to examine Wyszkowo as Harald's burial place, but there are no current plans for any excavations.
Honestly, just makes me hungry for wings.
What just happened? So the coin is just the legacy.
Got that one? All right, good.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Harold.
Oh. Hit a food truck out here the other day.
Yeah, they bring the food truck by.
Now, that would have been the twist if instead of his nickname Bluetooth inspiring the technology, that they lead you down that road. But the twist is he actually is the namesake of Harold's Chicken.
Plot twist!
That's the M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Exactly.
And that man became Harold of Harold's Chicken Shack in Chicago.
You can have your coin. I'll take the mild sauce.
Damn right you will. Snoop Dogg is hooking up with Black-ish creator Kenya Barris for a football comedy show called The Underdogs, where it's going to be like the Mighty Ducks. And obviously, Snoop has been in youth football for like 20 years, sponsoring teams. That's interesting enough that he's going to be involved in this television show. And I believe it's Death Row Pictures that is going to be a part of this.
Death Row is for the kids. I knew it. I knew it all along.
You don't want the producers in your videos?
That's what I told Dan Weider.
Yep.
That's what I said to him. I said, if you want to be a star and don't want the executive producer all in the videos, dancing, come on over to The Score. Anyway.
Now that one I got.
The best part about this is what Snoop says he wants to do when he's done. He wants to open an ice cream parlor and call himself. Come on. You're right there.
I didn't want to ruin it.
Scoop Dog.
I knew it. Death Rose for the children.
It's genius. Let's go on over to Scoop Dogs and get ourselves some Death Row Crunchy.
So my dad, of which you enjoy the stories.
Yes.
And the impersonation.
Correct. So I always see him at the holiday, you know, because that's his favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. And he's like, there's a guy who actually gives back to the community. Snoop Dogg.
Scoop Dogg.
He would love this.
When you think about the story of both Ice-T and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Ice-T was legitimately a pimp.
And made his bones as a rapper rapping about killing cops.
And then he's been a cop longer
and
than
he's selling Honey Nut Cheerios on our
But because corporate America didn't own him, he owned corporate America, he decided to change and not sell it to anybody.
And then there's Snoop. Snoop's got a beer. He's got a wine. He has a show with Martha Stewart. He has become the most lovable gangster in the history of hip-hop.
He's got a cannabis cookbook on sale yes. near the cashier at Sunnyside.
People need range.
It was like he influenced the culture, and then the culture came back around to him.
Yep.
People need range, man. Their experience led them to also be loved by many. I don't see what the problem is.
I'm here for it. I actually love the 19 Crimes wine that he has, too.
Coach Fluce would call that flex.
He'd have a name for it.
He's got positional flexibility.
Scoop, start carrying our opponents.
Points.
What? He could be the offensive coordinator.
Snoop?
Snoop's been in the game for 20 years. He really knows his football.
His son's a wide receiver.
Knows his hockey. When he shows up on Kings broadcast, people love it when Snoop is doing LA Kings games.
I think he and Ice-T are just two people who are really good at whatever they do, to be honest.
Bring that gangster mentality to the corporate world. You end up with success for decades upon decades.
That's High Noon. Next up, Russell Dorsey on the wacky world of Major League Baseball.
He just wrote a column. I'm going to read about it before he is on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.